If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to John chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible with you, you might want to grab one. There's perhaps one, don't yank it out of your neighbor's hands. So there might be one on the aisle where you're on the row where you're seated. And you might want to take it and open to John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1 and go through to verse 14 and hear together the word of the Lord. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs that he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his hands and seeing the large crowd that was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to him to test him, for he himself already knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed it to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments from the barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign he had performed, they said, "Truly, this is the prophet who has come into the world." Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning and the invitation to draw close to you and to seek you. We ask that you would take your word and apply it to our lives today so that we can glorify you wherever you have placed us. Asking, Lord, that you would work in our hearts that we might see your work around us. And we praise you together in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask a question, and it's the sort of question that you hear and you know you're supposed to answer yes to. So let me ask that you stop and think about it. Do you want to know God better? Do you want to see him at work? Do you want to grow closer? Do you want to see a glimpse of who he is and what his glory is like and about? If that's you, if that describes you, if no matter how long you've walked with him, it may be all of your life you've walked with him, but you're saying, "Yes, I want to walk more deeply with him." If that's you, put a little hand up. In this text, I think we see some things that call us into this knowing God and knowing who he is. Now, the thing that happens as soon as we read this text is we perhaps go back to Sunday school and we think about the things that we heard about this text as a child, and we can picture it in our minds. We miss some of the majesty of Jesus in this text. So I want us to kind of fill it back out a little bit and see it with some fresh eyes. And just leading up to it, John returns us to the narrative, and he tells us it's just before the Passover. A lot has happened between the last thing we've seen Jesus do and this moment. Perhaps 6 months have gone by. In that time, Jesus has been in Galilee, and there he has done the calling of the 12 that we see in the other Gospels, that's really when that officially took place, that going and saying, leave your nets and come. It's happened in this time period. Also during this time period, John the Baptist has been arrested, put in prison by Herod, and finally beheaded. And so here Jesus is on this mountainside, and his ministry and his life are now an intermingling of the sorrow that he felt for his cousin and his forerunner, and the concern and compassion he feels for these multitudes that have followed him, seeing his miracles, and followed him out to a place where they can't now return and get something to eat. It'll be too late. So as Jesus stood on this hillside above the Sea of Galilee, these matters of the compassion for the people and the need to teach his disciples come together in this one phenomenal moment. The first thing that we see is that Jesus points out the need. Jesus says to Philip, "Where can we buy bread so that these may eat?" You know, in life, so often we're surrounded with needs and we don't often know which one to look at. We're sometimes barraged by things. But there are certain things in life to which God calls our attention. There are times and moments when we see somebody or see a situation or hear about something and say, that is something that God is calling me to do something about. Jesus shows them first the need. The interesting thing is that as he does, he reveals our hearts. Look at Philip's response. He basically just sees the impossibility of the situation. He says that, you know, a couple years' wages wouldn't be able to buy enough bread to be able to feed these people. It says there that Jesus had asked this in order to test Philip. We need to stop and look at that, because it's an odd phrase for us. We don't quite use it that way. It's more like trying the quality. You know, James says that God doesn't put anyone to a test or tempt anyone. That means that God doesn't cause anyone to sin or give anyone place in your path an opportunity to sin in order to see if you're going to sin or not. That's not what God does. But when we walk with Jesus, he constantly calls us into situations where the quality of our faith is made evident and the way that we need to grow becomes obvious. I have these all the time. I'm hoping that you do too, so that you know what I'm talking about. These places where you miss this opportunity to see God glorified. And you go, oh, why didn't I say that when God was prompting me? And I know, oh, well, it's because that's an area where he wants to grow me. This is for helping me to see that I have a ways to go as I grow in faith and as I learn to trust and rely on him. And so he does test our faith because he wants to see us mature. And he wants to be able to see, and he wants to expose the quality of our hearts and lives. But more, as God calls you into a situation, we see here that Jesus provides us help. It's Andrew who overhears this, and he immediately sets to work. I love people like that, who they overhear your conversation and they're already figuring out a solution for the problem. And so he sets to work trying to find, and so he spotted this boy in the crowd. The boy has brought lunch with him. He's brought 5 loaves. They're like buns. He's brought him lunch. And Andrew goes and finds him and brings him. You know, I think often when God begins to call us to do something, we have this strong sense that call, because we have heard the call, that means it's something we're supposed to do by ourselves. This is very rarely the case. Almost always, when God is prompting you to do something, to take care of a matter, to begin a new work, there's others that he's stirring their hearts as well. There's others that not only have gifts that they need to participate to this, that they need to contribute to it, but they also have things they need to gain, because we're going to see later the way that this affects the disciples. But one thing we never see that we ought to wonder about is, how did this event affect this boy with the loaves? Think about him. The rest of his life, he can say, I brought lunch. And Jesus took it and fed 5,000 people with it. Think of that testimony that he has. Think of the way that has shaped his life for years to come. How perhaps as he grew old, he would think back and remember this day when Jesus took the bread that he had brought with him and fed this multitude with it. Yes, there's very rarely a time that God has revealed something to you, he's brought you into a situation, he wants to involve you in it, and he expects you to do it all by yourself. He's usually called others to come alongside you and be a part of it. So the great thing here in this text is that Jesus, it says, already knew what he was intending to do. And what does he do? He takes that bread and that fish, and he tells his disciples to get the crowd seated. I promise he didn't need them to get the crowd seated. But he says he wants to involve them in this. And he says, get the crowd seated. And it's an act of faith. It is that moment that you and I have when between the thing we know that we are to do and the thing that God is going to do, we have to step out. I mean, raising the expectations of this crowd could be embarrassing or deadly. 5,000 hungry people, and Jesus has 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you've got to think the disciples are getting the crowd to sit down in groups and thinking, what on earth is our teacher doing? We're going to die. But they do it. They do it. You know, not knowing what God's plan is doesn't mean that there isn't a plan. In fact, sometimes God will withhold what he needs to in order for us to take that first step of obedience, because the only thing crazier than what he's called us to do is an explanation of why we should do it. If Jesus had gone ahead and said, sit down the crowd because I'm going to feed everyone with these 5 loaves, they never would have done it. They were thinking, there's got to be a plan B. There's got to be a backup plan here. His explanations would have seemed stranger than his instructions. But this is what happens. When we obey him, we get to see what he will do. That's the wonderful reality. The way that we get to know, experience, deepen our relationship and understanding of who God is and what he's about and what he's doing is obeying him. And so Jesus then does it. He lifts these loaves. He gives thanks to God before the watching crowd of hungry thousands. He blesses these loaves and gives them to the crowd to distribute. And everyone ate until they were full. I want us to take a minute and look at this meal that's provided here, because we think of bread and you think of passing that bakery and smelling that fresh baked bread and the smell that wafts through the air, or cutting into it and having that nice crust, and then there's that light and fluffy interior. This was not that. This was barley loaves. They're things that one writer of the day says is good for feeding pigs. This is not that. This is some rough stuff. And the fish, there's a special word used for fish here. It's sardines. It's stuff that was dried or preserved with the bones still in it. It's little things that you might lay on a piece of bread and eat. That's what Jesus is using to feed this crowd. And Everything about this meal is simple. The people are sitting on the ground, and far off, if you had seen on them, they may have looked like flocks of sheep seated on the hillside. And the baskets that they use to collect the bread, they're the roughest and coarsest kind of baskets. They're willow baskets, just woven out of willow branches. Everything about this meal is simple, and yet plentiful, and yet glorious. The people knew how to take this event. It being close to Passover, they thought immediately, certainly, of God who had fed his people in the wilderness. And seeing this event take place, they thought ahead and thought of the great day in which God would provide for all the poor when the coming of the Messiah came and the tabernacle of David was reset and the land was full of plenty and all the poor could gather and eat. Certainly they knew that, and they proclaimed, certainly this is the prophet. But although they got the idea, they missed the message. The message of this is for those of us really who said yes at the beginning. This is a word for disciples, a word for followers of Jesus. And the message in the baskets that return, we can miss so easily. Well, superficially, we might think this means that go with Jesus and you've always got stuff. That's how the people took it. That's how the crowd would take it later. They would see him as a great opportunity, a great bread provider. This is not what Jesus is saying here. But he's going to remind him of this event later. In fact, after his resurrection, when Peter has already denied Jesus and felt sorrow for doing so, and wondered about his own calling, he would say, I'm going fishing. Leaving Jerusalem, he would take his disciples with him, John says, up to the region of Galilee, and they would be on the seashore, perhaps the shore right below this very spot where this miracle took place. And there they were, and they'd gone out fishing, and they'd spent the entire night, and they hadn't caught a thing. And then there was this figure on the seashore, and he had made a fire. And as they came in, Jesus would call to them. And they began to realize who it was and say to them, have you got any, and he'd use that same word again, you got any sardines? And they said, we've been fishing all night, but we haven't caught anything. He says, put in your nets for a big catch. And the passage says that they pulled out all of these big fish. Not that little fish word, not that fish on bread word, but they pulled out all these big fish. And they came to shore, and Peter's kind of panicked. He's put on his clothes, and he's concerned that he's going to see his master once more. He came to shore, and Jesus is cooking already. He says to them, bring some of those big fish, ichthus, bring some of those big fish that you caught. And then he serves them breakfast. But it says that he served them bread and sardines. It says that he served them that same meal that they had used to feed the multitudes on the hillside. And then three times, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And as he replies, Jesus says, then feed my sheep, then tend my lambs, reminding him of his calling. That's what these baskets are about, these 12 baskets that return, because not everyone who needs the bread of life was there on that mountainside that day. There are thousands and millions who need that bread of life today. Need to hear the good news, and that event is about their and our calling. So the message isn't stick with Jesus and you'll never be hungry. I think it's a little bit tougher. I think it's something like this. As you serve Jesus, extending yourself beyond your abilities and your resources, you will always have enough to do what He has called you to. You will always have the resources from Him to do what He has called you to do. And the picture is not with Jesus, you can sit here and eat. But as long as there is bread, as long as there are sardines, there is further to go. And these disciples would. They would take that basket of the bread of life and feed multitudes in Jerusalem, and they would share that good news in Jerusalem and Judea and all the way to the ends of the earth. Today, He's still at work. He's still at work in our midst and calling us to be part of it, calling us to feed His sheep and tend His lambs, calling us into that calling, but not empty-handed. He's promised to provide for us what is needed for the work He's called us to do. He's given you, each of you, something of great value, the good news of Jesus Christ. He's promised to keep that basket full as long as there are opportunities to share and as long as there are those who need to know. You have something of great value to give. So as you go, don't forget your basket. Let's pray together. Father, there are places where You're calling us to step out this morning. And by simply saying yes to You, we will see You glorified, know You more deeply, and come in deeper awe of who it is that You are and what it is that You're about. Help us, Lord, to lay aside excuses and to step out and to do what You're calling us to do. And Father, we come perhaps bearing discouragement in our lives. And pray that like Peter, we would look back and see the way that You have used us before and the things that You have done before now. And that we would be reminded of Your goodness, Your faithfulness. We thank You in Jesus' name.